Chip on the flow, man.
Some neighbors are saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody. That's like an alarm clock.
Howdy, everyone. We're back with the latest edition of Loose Lug Nuts. Missed a week last week. People were all over the place, parts unknown. So we're going to catch up on what happened in Dover. And then, wow, the big race in Kansas this last weekend. We should have six races a year there. I say get rid of four races I can think of and add four in Kansas. We'll be good to go. And then we'll preview Darlington, which I don't know. Throwback sort of a letdown this year. I think a lot of half-hearted attempts at it. Maybe they need to give it a couple years off and then come back to it. But first, we're going to catch up on a treasure trove of news. Hot off the press, NASCAR Race Hub coming to an end. Not at the end of the year. They're pulling the plug in the middle. Last show is going to be June 11th for Fox Sports 1's one-hour daily program. It had been on the air since October 2009 when it was on Speed, and then it moved to FS1 in 2013. I'm going to admit, I enjoyed watching it when I saw it, but it wasn't appointment watching.
Fair to say. I caught it enough, Tommy, when I had something on, like the afternoon, but it wasn't appointment viewing by any stretch of the imagination. But it did, like, give drivers a chance to go on there, especially, like, in the off season, like, raise their profile, which for a sport that needs as much media exposure as it can get, it was a really good avenue. And I thought the group that they had on there recently has been really good between Shannon Spake and Adam Alexander. Like, they've had some good hosts, and, you know, guys like Jimmy McMurray have been on it. David Reagan's been on it a good bit. Larry Mack's been on it. And they've sprinkled in the guys, you know, the Loganos and the Blaneys and the Cendricks of the world who have jumped on there a bunch, even giving Daniel Suarez a run at it. So it's been kind of fun. But I don't know, maybe it becomes more of a digital property the NASCAR can own on its own. And create some kind of content channel out of that. That'd be really awesome. There's probably some avenues to do it. Maybe they could pay us to host it. But yeah. I think that would, there's got to be a market for a show like this for NASCAR people to want to watch.
What worries me about, first, they don't have, there's no practice anymore. So you're losing that viewing. Now there's no weekly 1 hour show. So you're losing that viewing. It's like the NASCAR content is condensing. Cause like I said, I enjoyed watching it while I was there. I have a lot of things I enjoy, but there's some people that just enjoy NASCAR, and now that's not there. I was thinking about it, and my guess is they'll probably at some point put Happy Hour on, maybe on TV as well as the podcast, because they push that a lot. That would fill up a couple possible dates, and then I don't know if they even want to fill up the rest of the stuff. I liked... Personally, it's what got me to like NASCAR. As a youth, I would watch it, but I didn't really love it. When I was in college, and I would watch Inside Winston Cup with Alan Bestwick, Kenny Schrader, Michael Waltrip, Johnny Benson. That's why if anyone makes fun of Michael Waltrip, I want to stab them, because I enjoyed watching them, and I thought their interaction was funny, and I learned stuff every time I watched it. And I think a show like that would be... They didn't talk as much about what happened. They talked about what happened, like not what happened. They were explaining it from a driver perspective more than I think Race Hub was more of a newsy type thing. So I enjoyed drivers talking about the race, and I'd like to get that back to that if we could.
Yeah, the best part about that show was, like, and I'm not going to just throw Michael Waltrip under the bus, but, like, Johnny Benson and Kenny Schrader are, like, old school kind of short track guys, and they could really dive into, like, the specifics of the setup of the car, or what made a track difficult more than normal, or what was kind of the thing that they saw when they raced there, and what was a big deal. And, like, you kind of missed that in this version of the Race Hub, because it was more – And like they talk a lot about like the next gen car and stuff, but like they really don't dive into a lot of like the nuts and bolts of like what goes into a race setup, which I really liked. I thought Johnny Benson and I think Kenny Schrader were like really good at. And they're both, especially Schrader's a great personality. And so I think that would be something we could find that's, you know, like that's a mix of like the Dale Jr. Download, the Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour, even Denny's podcast mixed with like some real on engineering, race setup, track setup type kind of content that it doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah. And even that, their news angle, by the time the show was on at 6 p.m., it was out of date.
Yeah.
So I don't think that helped. So, holy poop, silly season officially started this week. Yeah, Michael McDowell is leaving Front Row Motorsports at season's end. So, and then he's like, I'll let you know what I'm doing here in a bit. And I didn't know a bit meant like an hour later.
20 minutes.
Yeah, he's headed to Spire Motorsports on a multi-year contract. So he's going to drive the number 71 next year. This leaves a whole bunch of questions. He's going to be teamed up with Corey LaJoie and Carson Husovar. So what happens to Zane Smith, who goes to Front Row Motorsports? And then there's constant daily talk about what is happening with Stuart Haas Racing.
Yeah, that may be where Luke Hillen is. He may be trying to negotiate a deal to buy one of these charters with some hedge fund or VC group that's out there. But, you know, I kind of hate it for Front Row because, like, Michael McDowell, like, is he a road warrior or a super speedway guy? I don't know. I'll let Mike Joy decide that. But I mean, he won a Daytona 500 for him. I think he's been, if I had to put like a top three most improved guys over the last 2 years, it's definitely since the start of the next gen car. Like, he's probably in my top three of your kind of lower tier guys who's made a really big jump. I mean, he's over the last several weeks has had a really good set of runs on the mile and a half tracks. So I kind of hate it for them, but then it sets into like a lot of things in motion. Like you're talking about, TD, it's like, what happens to Zane Smith? And then on the same side, like Spire's a really good group next year. I think Corey LaJoie's got a couple more years in his contract. Carson Husovar is a young guy who's got a lot of promise. He also not very excited about the NASCAR race hub going away. He was the first to reply back. So shout out to Carson for being a loyal viewer. But my big thought is like, what happens to Front Row in that spot? Then, you know, there's just been this swirling rumors for months now about Stuart Haas and what they're going to do with their charters and who gets them, where are they going to go, and what's that process going to be like? So I don't have $30 to $40 million out there to buy one, but I'm curious to see how it shakes out because there's going to be kind of a trickle down effect from this move by Michael McDowell all the way down to what's going to happen to Stuart Haas.
Well, and like a lot of what happens is going to depend on how many charters Stuart Haas keeps, if any.
If any.
If they kept two, I could see him keeping Gregson and Briscoe or Gregson and Barry. I don't see them keeping Priest. They didn't invite him to the weekly meeting that they had. So I don't see him inviting him to stick around for another year. I'm missing a third guy. I named Priest, Barry, Gregson. Who's their they got another guy.
Why did I just completely go blank?
Anyhow.
I'm gonna have to give their fourth driver. That's how not good they've been, is I've just forgotten their fourth driver.
Anyhow, and they also have two like under the wings drivers in Xfinity. Do they stick with racing Xfinity? Cole Custer is sort of waiting in the wings to come back up again, but if they don't have teams there, he's gonna have nothing to come back up to. And people we hear might want to buy a charter, 23XI Legacy. Oh, I saw JTG Doherty, which we have more news about them possibly getting back into a second car. They're barely sustaining one car, but so
I think 2311 is the first choice of anybody to buy one, just the amount of ownership they have. By the way, and Trackhouse too. Yeah, those will be the two for sure. That, to correct the record, it's Josh Berry, Chase Briscoe, Noah Gregson, and Ryan Preece are the four drivers for Stuart Haas. I'll be honest with you, Tommy, I've kind of blanked out Ryan Preece being a part of the Stuart Haas team.
Oh, we named all four of them.
We got them all. Yeah, we got them. I was like, Cole Custer's now, he's in Xfinity. I was like, where are we going? Yeah. And look, tip of your cap to Josh Berry and Noah Gregson. I think they've had really good starts to the year. I know they haven't won a race. Noah Gregson's had a couple top tens in a row, but that's going to be really like the big domino to fall. And then what happens then, you know, like, I'm curious to see who front row tries to go get for that ride, because it's a good ride. I think it's for a young and up and coming person, like somebody can slide in there and have a really good career or jumpstart your career. I know there will be a contingent to, like, let's put Haley Deegan in that car, please. I'm not there yet, but I think there are other people in Xfinity that you could try to, you know, and it would depend on a little bit of the manufacturer setup, but there's really good drivers out there that could come back, whether it is like a Cole Custer or like a Riley Herbst to get that ride.
Yeah, I sort of feel like they're going to hold out and wait for the Stewart Haas shoe to drop, because if Stewart Haas leaves, they could free up a driver who would be up to the par of Michael McDowell. So this next one, I put a what the F next to it. NASCAR says there's an increased demand for them to go hybrid or electric. Like, the demand can't be from the fans. Like, I don't see
that. It can't be from Sunoco.
Yeah, so former Toyota exec Ed Laucas claims new manufacturers like Hyundai and Honda, I just exaggerated it to make the two sound different, want a compelling narrative for consumers looking for sustainable fuels. I don't think NASCAR fans care about sustainable fuels. I think Honda and Hyundai might, because they think the government will like them more, but I don't think race car fans care. And my thing is, if everyone in the real world is driving electric cars, that frees up more gas for NASCAR. So the price of the gas should go down.
It gives more Seneca racing fuel to the stock cars. I got a lot of questions on it, because, like, what doesn't make sense to me is, like, wouldn't it make sense if they're looking for a compelling narrative? It's like, maybe we try this in, like, one of the lower divisions of NASCAR, because, like, there's not many electric cars that can go 500 miles the last time I checked. And so while I'm not against the EV industry at all, I just don't know maybe if it's the best route to take. Do I want more manufacturers in NASCAR? Sure. I don't think anybody would fight us on that, but I also don't understand the narrative they're trying to paint here and what they're trying to get out of it, for sure, when it comes to what a consumer is looking for compared to their fan. And just the technology, I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I haven't listened to a lot of EV podcasts lately, but I don't know a lot of technology that's going to be able to handle that kind of horsepower, and the technology is going to be able to get a car to go that long.
And, I mean, the first thing they're going to have to do is figure out how to make fake noise, but... Because otherwise, a lot of cats are going to die on the track because they're not going to hear the cars coming. So
you won't need is the big headphones anymore. That industry would go out of business for sure. The soundproof headphones.
So this is old news, I thought. Maybe it's not. Dale Jr. headed to TNT and Amazon Prime. I feel like everyone assumed that when he cut ties with NBC. So he's going to serve as on-air commentator for TNT's 5 Cup Series races each summer. Dirty Mo Media is going to contribute to Bleacher Report content series, which will be distributed on Bleacher Report social and digital platforms. And he's also going to be a part of Prime Video's broadcast team, and they're going to start showing 5 races also. So you're telling me I need to get Amazon Prime. I just remembered.
There's an ad tier. $3.99.
That's not awful.
I actually am somewhat excited about this from a viewership standpoint. There's like two groups of people in this world, TD, that are raging about TV broadcasts, especially. It's golf people and NASCAR people, and that's really a two strange groups to be aligned with. But like, having another competitor in the world of NASCAR, someone like Amazon, who actually is when it comes to like the tiered streaming platforms for sports, has been kind of the leader. We've seen it with it done Thursday Night Football. They're kind of taking over there. I listened to Dale Jr.'s Dale Download earlier this week because I've got a lot of free time on my hands right now. And one of the things he talked about was like how excited they are to, like, he's going to only get to work June and July, but he was like how quickly that he feels like they're going to have to hit their rhythm out of the gate. He's like, usually it takes me 5 or 6 races to really feel like we've got a really good setup on NBC. He's like, we've got to do that out of the gate. And so they're really going to work really intently to set up a really good broadcast group and try some new things that maybe NBC and Fox haven't done. But it'll be a really good rollout for 2025. And now the key is like what races do they get as the schedule comes out. But I think it's going to be a really – it's going to be an added boost. TNT did a great job when they had NASCAR 20 years ago. And you add on the Amazon part, I think with a good voice like Dale Jr., it's pretty cool. I think it's going to be a really good product.
Well, and this is not related. I just thought of it because I saw a tweet from Tommy Joe Martin's – I think I said his name right – and he talked about how involved CW Network has been with Xfinity and how they really, really, really seem to care about Xfinity more than the current NASCAR Xfinity rights holders are. So possibly looking forward to a lot better Xfinity coverage in the future. If you can find CW on your thingy, got that going.
You can find it right around the time the LIV tournament starts, speaking of golf again.
There we go. So Stenhouse signed a multi-year extension with JTG Doherty, which to me came out of sort of nowhere because I had recently heard rumors that Kroger might be leaving, which Kroger is his sponsor pretty much. Like every week he's got toilet paper or Thomas English muffins on the side of his car. So it'll be interesting to see how this is paid for. Apparently, Kroger's going to Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah, I mean, he has a 500 to his name, but I don't know. I just JTG Doherty's just they're like the most odd of the lower tier groups that we have in NASCAR right now because I just don't know what we're doing sometimes, especially if they want to add a second car. Like, I don't know how that's even feasible with them supporting to struggle to get one car on the track.
Next one. Usually we don't talk about people signing up for more races in the Xfinity series, but after his second place finish, spoiler alert, at Dover, Carson Kvapil. Never said it out loud. I always read it.
Travis Kvapil's son.
Yeah. He's going to get six more races with Junior Motorsports. So two at Darlington, New Hampshire, Indianapolis, Michigan, and Talladega. So.
Yeah,
could be an up and comer. I'm going to tell you, Junior Motorsports sort of been on a struggle bus.
Yeah.
I expected a lot better out of Brandon Jones. Sammy Smith really hasn't clicked all that well. Justin Allgaier, you know, strong, solid, but just hasn't finished any races. And then Sam Mayer's got the win, but he had a rough start. So if one of those guys moves on, look for a Carson next year to possibly take over. And then the news everyone's been waiting for. Matty D signs with Viking Motorsports for the rest of the year. They're basically leasing the number 38 from RSS. Ryan Sieg, I always forget what the other S is for, racing. So Matty D, rest of the year.
He's back.
He's full back. Year. After War Rackley left him standing at the altar. For Ty Dillon. Who's really come through. So you get to see Matty D every week. Exciting news.
I'm excited. It's better than seeing Ty Dillon every week, you know, to be honest. One of those guys has raced the 21 for the Wood Brothers and the other one hadn't, so I know which one I don't want to sign.
Yeah, and yeah, the Wood Brothers car, that might be a silly season thing too, because Harrison, what has he done?
He's not going to get win number 100, I'm afraid.
Okay, now we're on to catching up on some racing. We're going to fly through these races. First was the Cup Series Worth 400 at Dover. Kyle Busch won the pole. Ryan Blaney started outside. So the outside launches with Busch is up fairly easily in front of Blaney and Reddick. Lap 22, Ryan Preece is smoking. Very sad. He's been showing improvement. He had been in 9th, 12th, 14th his last three races, but he's got trouble. And then the next note I had, the Harvick word of the race is stupid.
Yeah, it's like the Mark Jones word of the race if you watch college football or the NBA. We just had to force one in.
Yeah, I wrote down yeet this bitch because the word of the day was yeet, which, come on. It makes me not want to listen to podcasts. So lap 56, Priest is smoking and it's foam in the door. The cars are poop. I don't know if it's just his car or all the cars are poop. He goes back to the garage. I thought Ryan Preece was going to be a good driver. Apparently he's not. Very sad. So we got the world's largest rubber duck at Dover.
At Dover.
So we had Miles the Monster outside, really big. They didn't have him back when I went, so I'd need to get back and take my picture. But I've seen the world's largest rubber duck. It like goes around. Normally it's in places where there's water because it's a effing rubber duck.
Needs water.
So I saw it in the bay in Sandusky by Cedar Point Amusement Park. It was like in the water because they tow it to different places. So I couldn't figure out how they got it on land. I'm going to have to figure that out. Anyhow, so Truex wins the first stage under caution. Keselowski spun out with two to go. Not much going on. Chase Elliott was looking really good. He had gained 20 spots from the start. Kyle Larson had gained 16. So we get to stage two. Truex is out front. He's looking good like he does every effing week. But Hendrick Motorsports got four cars in the top nine, so they're looking even better. I don't know if you know this. Joe Gibbs and Hendrick Motorsports are winning everything. Ford hasn't won a race this year. I have a Chevy. I don't have an HHR. So when we start an SUV circuit. But, so I should be happy Ford hasn't won, but competitively, I'd like to see Ford win. Anyhow, Truex was looking good, but Larson passes him in the pits. So that's not very good. Truex seems to have bad pit stops every week, coming with one to go. Mike Joy, he's talking about how it's a great race for the lucky dog between Heim and Emmerich. But then the Fox production crew, as we see every freaking week, we're going to see it later. They show a grill for no reason. They decide to show Hamlin and Truex, who aren't fighting for anything. Larson holds on. He wins stage number two. The third stage is where it gets interesting.
Yeah, fast.
So three wide out of the pits. Hamlin edges out Larson. Bowman backed off. What do you think about this? I thought Bowman should have wrecked him.
I thought he should have wrecked him. I know it's a teammate to the left, I think. And then I think Hamlin was on his right. He got squeezed in the middle, but Alex Bowman's a lot better than I am because I would have wrecked both of them probably because he was in the middle of the ever going Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson hate fest, and he actually had a really good car. Hendrick, you know, consistently runs well at Dover, but I actually thought the 48 was one of his best runs of the year, and that kind of did end his day, but it kind of slowed his mode for sure.
Yeah, I was all for wrecking people. I mean, you had your spot. Don't back off. That's
yeah.
Like, you ever see Footloose, the original?
The Kevin Bacon version.
Yeah, I would never pick Alex Bowman to play Kevin Bacon because he would have jumped off that tractor way too early, even before his shoelace got caught on the pedal. So Hamlin rockets out to the lead from the outside on lap 259 restart. We'll mention in the next race. I'll skip over that next note. Lap 269, 132 laps remaining. Hamlin up by 3 seconds, followed by Bowman, Busch, and Truex. They found a footage of Truex plowing the back of Bowman, and he has damage on his front, which is likely affecting his handling. Jimmy Johnson goes down four laps on lap 280. What's he doing?
It's I don't know. It's like WCW Ric Flair. Like, I don't know what we're doing. Like you won your seven titles, man, and I think you've done. Like, you think it was a fantastic driver, but like, it is okay just to play golf or go home or own a race team. I don't know. Like go buy some Lowe's. Like Lowe's. I don't know, but like, this is not it.
Like I've heard Dale Jr. say he would never get back in a Cup Series car just because he doesn't want to look that bad. Like, he can get into Xfinity.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson can get into Xfinity, compete. I don't know what he is doing.
I don't either. I don't understand it unless he just feels like he, with his part and legacy, needs to do it. I don't know. Like, I would, there's better times. And he, like you said, like Dale Jr.'s ran some Xfinity races. Like, he knows like the aptitude to do that where he is in life is a little bit more in sync with where he is compared to where he would have been 10 years ago running in the Cup Series. Jimmy took what, 6-7 years off and then tried to do the IndyCar thing, and like, it's just not working. And I thought it was like a little bit of like an equipment thing and a technology thing for a while with those guys. It's not. Like, Eric Jones has not been terrible. Like, it's not. Like, it's just, he's just been out and doesn't need to do it anymore. And I don't know. It's just kind of like the old like guy who won't give it up.
So we have a incident here that takes Byron out of the race, and they show his fans leaving the stands at 68 to go. What happened was there was a Zane Smith got loose. He went into Bubba Wallace. Christopher Bell and William Byron took big damage. Byron's day started unraveling. He had a bad pit stop, and then he was back with the nuts or the squirrels, and they crunched his nuts. But his fans are leaving.
I don't understand it. Like, it's Dover. Like, it's 68 laps goes by in, like, 35 minutes. Like, why leave? And especially in the Northeast when it's your one chance to get to watch a NASCAR race. Like, I don't, unless you go to Pocono. Like, I don't understand. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I thought you if you were going to the race, you were staying at the race. Like, I didn't know there was that many hardcore William Byron people out in Delaware, New Jersey that I needed to get back home in time.
And you know, there's like to me, there's 40 cars. I always have a car I'm rooting for, but I have a backup car.
Yeah.
I have a race
especially team. A track like Dover.
I have my own personal race team. Yeah, I found that odd. So they're going to restart with 62 to go. Hamlin and Larson out front. Truex and Gregson are in row two. Hamlin gets a big restart with a push from his teammate, Truex. 50 to go. Hamlin's looking tough to beat. He's a second and a half in front of Kyle Larson. 24 to go, though. He's approaching lap traffic. That allows Larson to shave in the lead. He's just trailing by 7/10 of a second. Took Hamlin some time getting by Suarez, who's going to be a U.S. citizen. I believe he passed the test. So I think as long as he doesn't molest a dead horse between when his paperwork gets filled out and he takes the oath, I think he'll be a dual citizen. So congratulations. But no time for Larson to get by. So it's 10 laps to go. The lead is under 3/10 for Hamlin over Larson, but it's just not happening for him. Harvick keeps saying he's there. Like multiple times he says he's there, but he's still 2/10 of a second. He's never really there. They take the lead. Larson doesn't threaten, no matter how many times Harvick says he's there. Hamlin wins his third race of the season, 54th of his career. He's now tied with Lee Petty for 12th. Next win will tie him for 11th with Rusty Wallace. Larson, Truex, Busch, and Elliott rounded up the top five. How about Noah Gregson? He had a third at Talladega. He got a sixth at Dover. We got Blaney Bowman, Hemric Gibbs round out the top 10. Second straight, ninth place finish for Hemric. He was ninth at Talladega. Dover was a pit strategy night, so I would never bet on a Bowman game of chicken. So just leave it at that. And then Chase Elliott finished fifth, and I think he was on the TV screen for 420 seconds the entire race.
Yeah, they like showed him like getting the four-tire stop maybe early in the race when he was driving through the pack, and then when he finished fifth at the start-finish line. And like – I don't know. Chase Elliott's been such an enigma the last 18 months. He missed half the year, and it's like, oh, look, he had a top five, and we didn't even know about it. Like, it just completely just over the Fox crew's head. But I don't know. Yeah, just, that's not surprising.
Unless he's racing at Atlanta and they got to show the billiard room every other
we got to go out to Dawsonville to go to the local Hooters out there.
So next, we got the Advent Health 400 at Kansas. Christopher Bell with the pole. Only driver to break 183 miles per hour in qualifying. Ross Chastain on the outside. Jimmy Johnson gives the start, the command to start engines from inside the car. I think that's the first time a driver's ever done it. I thought it was weird, especially since he's not a very good driver anymore.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen it. Because I'm glad he didn't do it from outside the car, because then like, who's going to start his car?
Yeah, so, the race was delayed by 3 hours, which gave people an opportunity to watch the actual first real F1 race in decades. So even though it was in a parking lot of a football stadium. So we're going to have a multi-lap battle out of the gate. This race is awesome from the beginning. Chastain grabs the lead from Christopher Bell going into lap three. Lap 10, to quote Harvick, Larson is coming. He's coming fast. We need to work on the phrasing. So anyways, Larson is hauling ass. He's looking good. Lap 22, Larson lost steam, though. He was never able to get the lead at that point. This is when we go into a commercial break with a clunky Mike Joy forcing a Cinco de Mayo reference into the discussion with a mariachi band playing in the background. So I thought that
let me tell you, when I think Cinco de Mayo, I think Kansas.
Yeah.
It was a tough, it was a forced break into the business, to the commercial business. That was tough.
Lap 32, Priest and Gilliland start the pit cycle. Corey Heim speeding on pit road, very sad. At first I put Eric Jones. I forgot Eric Jones was back on the rack another week. Lap 35, Larson's blowing by Chastain for what would be the lead. I said Mike Joy is yapping about Derek Cross. Derek Krause. I mean, I guess he needed to, but the TV is showing Chastain and Larson in a really good battle, and he's talking about Derek Krause. Krause is the leader. Well, we knew that. Like, just shut up about Derek Krause and let's talk about this. I'm turning on Mike Joy.
I can tell. I mean, like, I get what you're saying because it's out of the pits is what's caused this. But like, Derek Krause is gonna be the leader for about seven more laps. I know he needs a shout out, but he didn't get there through racing through the middle of the pack. He got there because he decided to stay out. So I don't know. It's fine. It's just it's one of those weird Mike Joy moments again where you're like, what? Hey, let's like focus on the two guys who are. Been really dominant in the first 35 laps. And so we're talking about the guy that nobody really knows about.
Next lap, Chastain battles back. And this battle between Chastain and Larson is going to go on for a while. It's such a good battle, though. They feel like they need to go to a commercial break and put it in a really small box. They finally pass Derek Krause, who still hasn't pitted, for the lead on lap 42. The battle goes on for about 16 laps before Chastain sort of concedes. And then by lap 60, Denny Hamlin enters the fray, and he passes Chastain for second. A lot of long run speed for Hamlin. He takes a few laps, but he gets by Larson on lap 69. 16 consecutive races where Hamlin has led a lap. That's his personal best.
Third stage win for Denny Hamlin on the year, followed by Ross Chastain, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, and Chris Buescher. Is it me? Does it feel like Chastain and Larson run really well early to midway through the stage, and then like the last like 10 laps they kind of just they lose steam?
Yeah, they did.
They're not great long run cars.
I think it was more Denny's car. I didn't see the actual speeds, but I think it felt more like Denny was saving stuff early and longer. But I don't know.
It's just been a thing for those guys, especially Chastain this year. Like he runs really well early on. It's like, or he like flips. He doesn't run well early on, but like the final 60 laps, he comes out of nowhere. Followed by Ty Gibbs, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Noah Gregson, and Chase Elliott to round out stage one. They also get stage points. But another really good stage one that's going to be dominated by those first five cars pretty much the entire day that we talked about. That were part of stage one.
So do we have a new jinx?
we might.
They had John Hunter Nemechek's pit crew in the spotlight, and then John Hunter Nemechek gets his first of two pit road speeding penalties.
Yeah, not very, one, but two.
Very sad. Christopher Bell picks up three spots in his pit box, but a slow stop for Hamlin. Austin Hill got in his way, so he comes out eighth, losing seven spots. While Bell and Chastain are battling, Larson goes out front, and Chris Buescher shoots through the middle on a five wide. How awesome was that?
Awesome.
So it's Buescher and it's Larson and Buescher out front. Coming out of commercial about 5 minutes later, they show Chris Buescher's in car, which makes it even more awesome. Shooting the middle through five wide. The only bad thing is Mike Joy says it's Kyle Busch.
Oof.
And then
Kevin Harvick gonna look. Yeah,
yeah, he does a stealth edit afterwards. Yeah, Mike Joy's lost the step. I hate being anti-Mike Joy, but I'm doing it a lot. Lap 117, green flag pit cycles start. Slow stop for Larson trying to get a lug nut off. He shuffled back about five spots. Reddick, Wallace, and Hemric haven't pitted. Buescher would be out front if they did. That was me being Mike Joy. Lap 126, everyone has pitted, so now Buescher's in the lead. And then Buescher, Busch, and Larson have worked. Sorry about that. Larson's worked up the third. He's hauling ass again. He moves in the second, Hamlin up the fifth. But the end of the stage comes, and it's a stage win for Buescher, followed by Larson, Hamlin, Busch, Truex in the top five. These look like the cars to beat. There's like no one outside. Yep. Chastain, maybe.
All right, going to stage three. Chris Buescher still coming out of the coming to the pit road or pit lane after the start of stage three. Well, we got a crew member over the wall too soon, and that just feels like two of them actually. And it's two bad. It just feels like it's like, oh man, another bad day of RFK luck, or they have had some second.
They're at a spot where you can see them very well too, and they didn't need to be out early because they have the break in the wall. So he's coming in, and you got time to jump. Yeah, it was just a bad.
It was bad. It was bad. I felt like this was like, oh, RFK had a really good run for half the race, and now it's about to fall apart. Daniel Hemric also gets a speeding penalty, and we're going on pit road. Lap 174 restart, 94 to go, and then we're going to start talking about cautions because it felt like we had one every 3 minutes to start this stage. Kyle Larson gets out front, and then three laps later, again, Jimmy Johnson, what are you doing? He just smashes into the wall because Corey LaJoie and Austin Hill get in behind him. Things like it looks like Jimmy checked up a bit because he saw some smoke ahead, and Corey LaJoie just plowed into him, followed by Austin Hill. We restart finally 10 laps later after getting it cleaned up. Larson in front with Kyle Busch fairly easy on the restart. And then literally one lap later, again, oh no, Austin Cindric, Bubba Wallace, who is my dark horse in Kansas as always, and Michael McDowell. Hamlin lifts out of the gas up front. Logano goes up, and then Bell goes up behind him, and Hamlin's there. Then Cindric really checked up, calls the whole pack to wreck. Into the wall goes Michael McDowell, Bubba Wallace, and Cindric, and then Kyle Busch actually has the lead there as the yellow comes out with 77 to go.
Yeah, we're going to restart with 77. Busch is out super easy. Like, it's almost like Larson didn't see the green flag.
Didn't see the green flag?
Yeah. 76 to go. No win number 100 for Wood Brothers. Harrison Burton spins around. Who would have thought? Brings out the yellow. Busher and Hamlin among the cars that decide to pit. Yeah, they're going to be close on gas. It's the window's right there. We restart with 70 to go. It's Kyle on Kyle action again. But guess what? Sixth lap 69, another caution. Joey Logano wrecks from 16th. Chase Briscoe got tightened up into the Logano, causing him to spin out.
I think this was the point where I texted you, our little group text. I said, are we going to run more than 20 green flag laps in this stage? I'm not sure. Because it felt like it was like three laps, caution.
Yeah. And then
caution.
Lap 66.
One lap, caution.
Lap 66. This is where we're getting to get some classic Fox NASCAR racing. Kevin Harvick's getting ready to make a brilliant point about action on a track, so the producer shows a grill with pork chops and chicken on it. And Harvick stops talking because he sees the chicken and the pork chops.
It's not even traditional Kansas City fare.
Yeah, very sad. Restart with 62 to go. Gilliland and Hamlin out front. Long John Silver can't hold off Hamlin. Hamlin is chased by Busher. 60 to go. Busher motors by Hamlin on the inside, but Hamlin responds immediately. And once again, we got a great multi-lap battle before Hamlin retakes the lead. 25 to go. Hamlin and Busher are having to nurse it, though, because it's like we said, it's going to be close on gas. 15 to go. Busher really backs off. He's dropped back by about a second with 14 to go. 10 to go. Hamlin has a 1.5 second lead over Busher and a 1.8 second lead over Truex.
8 to go. Martin Truex is really coming. He's up to second, 1 second behind Denny Hamlin, but then unlucky. 7 to go. Kyle Busch, Rex brings out the yellow. As Truex really had all the momentum, was chasing down Denny Hamlin. And I really thought at that point he was probably going to win. I thought he had the best car the last 30 laps and just kind of lost all the mo. That's going to send everybody to pit road. Two tires for Hamlin, Busher, Larson, Elliott, Blaney, Noah Gregson, Alex Bowman, John Hunter Nemechek, and Corey Heim. Truex first with four tires. He comes out 10th. Didn't understand it at all.
Yeah, that baffles. I'm baffled. And I know they got code words and whatnot, but he's got to see his teammate Truex is only going to do two tires. I don't know. Or don't Hamlin. Know. He's got to see Hamlin's only doing two tires. Like, you're going to start second. I don't know.
Unless you just feel like Denny's going to beat you that bad off the restart with two tires. But again, you're going to be in 10th. Like, there's no time to make up two laps for 10th at Kansas.
Yeah. So we restart with two to go. Hamlin on the inside, Busher on the outside. Larson flies down to the bottom of the track on the start. He gets around Hamlin, but Busher's in the lead. They take the white flag. Busher, big block on Larson. They're side by side on the back half of the lap. Big slamming. Not enough slamming from Busher, though. He loses a little momentum, but it still looks like he won. It looked like
I thought he won.
It looked like he crossed the poorly painted line first.
I got a hot take on the Lions here in a minute.
His team is cheering. They're all cheering. But then we will learn the white line is a sham. The transponder, even though it says Buescher wins by 0.0001 seconds, don't believe the science. We got a crazy camera pointing at an electronic line that tells us who the winner is. So every time you watch a race and you see the line on the track, that's not the line. We got some make-believe line. Larson gets his second win of the season, 25th of his career. Buescher's the bridesmaid, followed by Elliott, Truex, Hamlin on the top five, Bell, Bowman, Busch, Gregson, and McDowell in the top 10.
All right, I got two things. One, what if I told you that was Chris Buescher's first career top five at a mile and a half track?
Whoa.
Because it was. That's your random fact of the day. I was kind of like, are you like not even last year, like down the stretch?
And yeah.
He did not. That was his first career top five. Okay. Like Kansas, can we just make sure we know what the start finish line is? Like, we got the thin line. We got this, like, let's say we went back and painted a thicker line. Like, which one is it? Like, is it? And I don't like, I will give NASCAR credit. And like, Jeff Plug did a great job explaining it of like how they went through the process. Cause my eyes say Chris Buescher won the race. TV said Chris Buescher won the race. The transponder did, but like, I will give them credit. They explained it well. It just stinks to like, wow, this is like the best finish we've had like since Ricky Craven, Kurt Busch, probably like 20 years ago. And that's kind of like what we had to talk about was like, oh man, this nobody knows where the actual start finish line is anymore. I just feel bad for Chris Buescher because RFK's had some top has had a couple of runner ups the last couple of weeks. They finally found some speed. And he runs well at Darlington, so maybe this will be his week when we're coming up. But I really thought down the stretch, you know, like this would be a huge lift for those guys and for Ford, who hasn't won a race yet. They're off to their longest winless streak since 2008 or something. So, but overall, I mean, give NASCAR credit, they explained it, but I'm just like, can we make sure we know what like start finish line is now so I don't have to rely on a photo finish again?
Well, and paint it straight.
Then paint it straight.
I don't know. Like, I don't care about a camera. I want to see it, and I can tell who won if you show me the regular picture really slow. So the playoff picture, we're 12 of 26 regular season races complete. So we're 6/13 of the way through the season. Denny Hamlin, William Byron now have 3 wins apiece. Points leader Kevin Larson has 2 wins. Other 4 winners in the playoffs are Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, and Daniel Suarez. Suarez is actually outside the top 16 in points, which leaves the current cutoff at 15 points. Other 9 in the playoffs would be Truex, Blaney, Gibbs, Bowman, Chastain, Buescher, Busch, Briscoe, and Keselowski. Bubba Wallace, 4 points back. Joey Logano, 18 points back. And then Noah Gregson's climbing, but at this rate, I think he's shaving off 2 field points. Maybe not, but if he gets another DNF early in a race, he'll be in trouble. He's in 19th place, 71 points below the cutoff. He's moved up 11 spots and 24 points on the cutoff the last 3 races. So 8 points a race. That would get him there. He just can't have another bad race. And don't forget he had the 35-point penalty,
yeah,
which is a sham.
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, I've seen like, and like we were joking about Stuart Haas earlier. Like, he's been really solid the last couple of weeks in different types of tracks. I think the one guy, I mean, take Joey Logano out of the disappointment thing on my end, is like the one guy that I'm shocked that is kind of in the chase or the top 16 is Chase Briscoe. Like I like if you would have like gun to my head named the top 16 and who I thought would have been in there, I would not have put Chase Briscoe in there. And it's just, I mean, you know, he's barely in, but just don't feel like he's been really involved in any races near the front at all. But that's how the playoff works.
So they didn't race in Kansas last week. We'll catch you up real quick at the Bet Rivers 200 in Dover. We'll just go to the end of the race. I picked the winner.
Yes, you did.
I did. Ryan Truex won. Truex says love Dover. So why doesn't Ryan have a full-time ride? I don't get that. But he was followed
I was going to ask this. Why do you think he really doesn't have a full-time ride? I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe Gibbs Racing has cars sitting around. I mean, they put him in a car. They put people in cars. And he wins. And I think he could get some scraps from his brother's sponsors. And he
maybe
should
we should put a play, maybe we should put a proposal in place for him.
He should actually get Austin Dillon's Bass Pro Shops money. Austin
Dillon's not right. Let him race the three car.
Truex was followed by, as we said, Carson Kvapil, Sam Mayer, Sheldon Creed, and Cole Custer in the top five. Dinger, Chandler Smith, Kyle Weatherman, Anthony Alfredo, and Parker Retzlaff rounded out the top 10. Okay, they had no post-race interview shown for the Dash for Cash winner.
It's fast pasta. Why can we not get him on?
Yeah, he's rightfully miffed at his the exposure for sponsors is why you race. And he has an underfunded team. I found that very bad. Like, Fox, what are you doing?
Yeah, I didn't understand it at all. I mean, like, he wins the thing that they keep promoting in the race the entire time, and they don't even talk to him. It's weird. Kyle Weatherman equaled his career best with an eighth-place finish. He's got three eighth-place finishes that came prior, including Kentucky in 2020, RIP, and New Hampshire and Atlanta in 2022. With 10 of the 26 regular season races in the books, Chandler Smith and Austin Hill have got two wins apiece. As we look at the playoff picture, Smith also leads the point race, followed by Jesse Love and Sam Mayer, both in on wins. The eight others above the cutoff line are Cole Custer, who is 1 point back in overall points, Justin Allgaier, Riley Herbst, Dinger, Sheldon Creed, Parker Kligerman, Anthony Alfredo, and Sammy Smith. Brandon Jones, who I jinxed a year ago, is 15 points back, followed by Ryan Sieg, and then SVG is 34 points back.
There we go. Brandon Jones really been sort of a letdown.
I jinxed him. Though.
Yeah, Anthony Alfredo looking good. Dale Jr., all he talked about the last 2 years was Sammy Smith, and he's just clinging on. Had Ryan Sieg just wreck Sam Mayer. Sammy Smith would be on the outside right now. So we had a truck race in Kansas. I'm just going to mention for Evan, Chase Purdy won the pole. So we had that
guy. Shout out to Bama Buggies. Yeah, there Bama Buggies. Shout out to Bama Buggies.
So we have Corey Heim winning the race. It's his second win of the season, seventh of his career. Zane Smith, Christian Eckes, Caden Honeycutt, Brett Moffitt in the top five. Brett Moffitt's last truck race was a win last year at Talladega. They got a fourth here, so how about that for back-to-back races? And then Caden Honeycutt's been running real well. Nick Sanchez, Tanner Gray, Dean Thompson, Daniel Dye, and Matt Crafton round out the top 10. That was the first top five career finish for Caden Honeycutt. He has three top 10s in four races he's run this year. Might want to get him some more races. Daniel Dye finished ninth. That's his first back-to-back top 10 finishes. Tricon, I don't know if you remember this. A couple years ago, before they became Tricon, the team had a driver named Haley Deegan in the car.
Yes, I do.
She didn't finish very well, and all her fans were like, well, it's because that team is trash. Well, that team had four trucks in the top eight, and the only one of their five trucks not to finish in the top eight was Taylor Gray, who got a flat with 23 to go when he was running eighth. So I don't know what that says. Post-race disagreement between Cam Waters and Lane Riggs. I was hoping for punches to be thrown, but there weren't.
No, none there. They're halfway through the season series for the trucks. Four drivers in on wins. Corey Heim and Christian Eckes have two apiece, followed by Rajah Carruth and Nick Sanchez with two apiece. The other six include Ty Majeski, Tyler Ankrum, Taylor Gray, Matt Crafton, Tanner Gray, and Grant Enfinger. It's pretty tight through the points as you get back towards the back. Daniel Dye's 1 point below the cutoff, followed by a past champion Ben Rhodes. He's 4 points back as the trucks are getting ready for the rest of their season.
Yeah, we got three more races in a row before their next break.
Yeah.
So lots of truck action. Cup Series, Darlington, Goodyear 400, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, coverage starting at 1:30 on FS1. FRN and Sirius XM radio. Distance 400.2 miles, 293 laps around the 1.366 repeating asphalt egg shaped oval. Stages of 90, 95, 108. This was originally a mile and a quarter track. They made it a mile and 3/8 in 53, adjusted it to its current length in 70, repaves in 95, 2008. This is just going to be the 11th time NASCAR has besmirched Mother's Day. It's been besmirching Mother's Day since 2021. Prior to that, 2007 was the last time they besmirched Mother's Day.
Over 80% of the winners at Darlington have come from the first 10 rows, which makes sense because that means you have a fast car because you qualified in that spot. Denny Hamlin is the leading active racer in Darlington with 4 wins. Those came in 2010, 2017, 2020, and 2021. Eric Jones and Martin Truex have 2 wins apiece. And last year, William Byron and Kyle Larson won the 2 races at Darlington for a Hendricks sweep. 3 other active winners in the race, that's Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and Kyle Busch. David Pearson is the all-time leader with 10 wins. Shout out to the Silver Fox. Dale Earnhardt had 9 wins. Jeff Gordon had 7. And speaking of Jeff Gordon, Ray Evernham is the Grand Marshal for the Goodyear 400. He'll deliver the command as Jeff Gordon's crew chief, my personal favorite Jeff Gordon crew chief. He won 3 Cup Series titles, 4 Southern 500s, 2 Daytona 500s, and total 49 wins for the Rainbow Warrior.
He also committed the human resources violation of dating one of his drivers and eventually marrying her. Out there in Crocker, no HR department there at Hendrick back in the day.
He didn't disclose it.
Jeff Bodine will be Grand Marshal of the Throwback Parade, which is going to include local dignitaries, vintage race cars, and nostalgic floats.
I hope he wears like a QVC jacket. That would be awesome.
Ross Chastain will make his 200th NASCAR Cup Series start. Only 145 drivers, I would have guessed more, have made that many starts. So in the 4 next-gen races at Darlington, only 5 drivers have finished on the lead lap in all 4 races. Eric Almirola, who isn't in this race, so you can cross him out. Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, William Byron.
All right, let's do some picks.
I'm a little leery of this one, the more I think about it, but I'm going Eric Jones. Rarely can you call a 2-time winner at a track a long shot, but here we are. And I think it's part of the reason they sent him out last week, despite him being cleared by doctors. I think they want him to be fully healthy because they know he can win here.
Yeah, I think that was kind of what I thought. That's why they sent him out. Just is like, let's get him back into Toronto where he runs really well. I mean, he is a 2-time winner, but Kansas hasn't traditionally been a great track for him. So get him back in a spot where he can come back, maybe have a good chance to win. I don't know. That's their call. Winner for me, or long shot for me, is the guy who I would have actually thought had a chance to be really competitive last week at Kansas, is Bubba Wallace. He has 3 top 10s, career best 5th place finish last year in Darlington. And like, I'm not disappointed in Bubba's season, but like, Bubba's got to get a win. Like, let's just be real here. So this is a track that usually 2311 runs well. Him and Tyler Reddick both ran well here last year. And so that's, I'm going to go with the old 23 car and see if they can get a win at Darlington. Or yeah, be a good long shot pick to get a win at Darlington.
Who's your winner?
I was tempted to go with Denny Hamlin, like I think you were. I'm going to kind of branch out a little bit. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. He has never won here. He's had some really good finishes down the stretch. He's got 2 top fives. I believe he finished 3rd here back in 2020. But the 9 car historically has not been a top tier finisher here, but he's been pretty good of late. He's actually never led a lap at Darlington, but I just think the 9 car's got the thing heading in the right direction. This is like kind of a place where Hendrick tends to run really well. They swept him last year. So I like the 9 car. Maybe we can get some BOGO on Monday.
Oh man, fired up for that. I was going to go Denny Hamlin. There's a made up milestone, 15,000 career laps led. He's 42 laps away from that. So he might get to that. I'm going to go Tyler Reddick, though. He's the only driver with 3 top fives in the 4 next-gen races. 2 seconds and a 3rd. So yeah, those are all pick. Close to first. So Xfinity Series. Who doesn't like Crown Royal? I love Crown Royal. This is the Crown Royal Purple Bag Project. I hope that project goes to something good because I don't want to give it a shout out and have it be like killing dogs. The Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200, Saturday race at 1:30 Eastern, coverage at 12:30 FS1, MRN, Sirius XM Radio. Race is 200.8 miles. I feel like these Xfinity races this year are way too short.
Yeah, I feel like this is a little short too. I agree. Since we're going 147 laps, stages of 45, 45, and 57. 2 bushwhackers are William Byron. He's in the 17, followed by John Hunter Nemechek, makes his return to the Xfinity in the 26 for Sam Hunt Racing. Carson Quapple back in the 88 for Junior Motorsports And Joe Gibbs actually has Taylor Gray in the 19. And then Eric Amarola going to ride in the 20 car this weekend.
There we go. We got three drivers in the field who have tamed the track. Too tough to tame.
But Justin Allgaier who has it.
Yeah, so it isn't too tough to tame if they tamed it. Allgaier, two wins, seven top fives, 13 top tens in his 17 starts. Last six starts here were top tens, including wins in 21 and 22. Brandon Jones, he earned a win in 2020, passing Chastain in the last two laps. He also has two top fives, five top tens in his 12 starts. Cole Custer won in 2019. He has a top five finish in four of his five starts. His only other start resulted in a ninth place in 2017. Who do you got winning?
I actually was going to go Cole Custer. And I think he's like a past winner, obviously, top five finishes. Actually ran decent here in the Cup Series as well. So, like you said, he's been a really consistent person. I was kind of between Justin Allgaier and Cole Custer, I think, like you were, Tommy. And just think Cole Custer's got one in the bag this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, as I said, with the dark clouds and buzzards flying around Stewart Haas Racing, Cole Custer brings some sunshine to the organization. His results in order here have been 9th, 2nd, 1st, 3rd, 4th. So tough to beat that. Finally, we got the NASCAR Truck Series, Buckle Up South Carolina 200. Rarely are the Xfinity numbers the same as the truck numbers, but 200.8 miles, Friday, 7:30 night race. Pretty fired up for that, 6:30 p.m. Coverage on FS1, MRN, SiriusXM radio. Only 32 trucks. I find this a bit alarming. They're a stone's throw from Charlotte, and people like Norm Benning and Jennifer Jo Cobb can just show up and race, but there are no takers. Very sad. We got Bushwhackers, two of them. Kyle Busch running his fifth race of the year for Spire Motorsports in the number 7. Ross Chastain in the 45 for Nice Motorsports. This is Busch's fifth and final truck race of the year. He's won once. NASCAR notes said 3-time Cup Series winner at Darlington. No, he's won once. He has never run a truck race here. I found that shocking.
Yeah, and you got in the next line. The NASCAR has only ran truck races here. This is they'll be the 12th time, 11 times total. From ran four straight from 2001 to 2004, and then 2010 and 11, and started back during COVID in 2020. So maybe that's why he's never made a start. He really wasn't running a ton of trucks in 01. He did a little bit in the mid 2000s, late 2010, but then he kind of jumped back in as of late. So, but when I saw that, I was like, that's kind of hard for me to believe he's never made at least one truck start here, but I guess not.
Yeah, two-time winners at the track include Bobby Hamilton, Casey Kane, and Sheldon Creed. Matt Crafton is the only racer to run all 11 races here. 7 top 10s, 3 top 5s. Two previous winners in the field. Christian Eckes won in 2023. He also has 2 top 5s in his 3 starts. The other winner, Ben Rhodes, 2020. He has 2 top 5s in his 5 starts. Who do you got winning?
Going to use my rule that I always do when Kyle Busch is in a truck race. I'm going to pick Kyle Busch in his first career start. For some reason, I just really think he's going to run well. I mean, he's got a ton of Darlington experience, obviously, at the Cup level, but it's kind of hard not to pick him. I honestly kind of thought about picking Ben Rhodes because he's got a couple top fives here, but I actually, you know, why not? This is Kyle Busch's final truck race of the year. Let's go out with a bang.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go in on Ben Rhodes. They haven't been running well this year. Mm-mm. And they just did a crew chief swap.
Yeah.
So
this week, actually.
Yeah. So I'm going to wait and see how that works out. I got Grant Enfinger, 5 races, 3 top fives, 4 top tens. His 6.4 is the best average finish among active drivers. On to the paint schemes. It started out mad, sort of picked up steam. There were some late reveals that are okay. First of all, last week, the Ross Chastain Crocs car.
Great.
Like every week.
Fantastic. Nailing
it. They are
every week.
But this
whoever's doing Ross Chastain's designs, like give him a raise, folks. Like it's been really good. Like I tip my cap to him and salute. Like it's been really, really, really good.
So Ross Chastain's back in another good one, a sort of a Busch Light throwback. I like that one. I like the Kyle Larson and the Hendricks. That he's got the freedom to do this though. Because it's HendricksCars.com. They don't really have like a look, like you could put it on anything. So they were able to take Terry Labonte's Kellogg's car look, and it looks pretty sharp.
Yeah, it's probably my personal favorite because obviously Terry Labonte, Cup champion. But can we not get Kyle Busch a better paint scheme for a guy who's won a Cup title? Like just in general, like
Yeah.
we're going from like very basic, like a 1 out of 10 to like that 5 car back in the day. Like I have that in like a couple different diecasts. Like it was an
Yeah.
awesome car with the Kellogg's car back in the day.
Now this next one I found a little odd. It's Brad Keselowski in the Ford number 6 Kestrel, throwing it back to a, they put it in quotations, iconic ride. But it's weird because he's driving a Ford, and the iconic ride he's throwing him back to is a Toyota Supra GT from the All Japan Brand Touring Car Championship in 1995. But it's a sharp looking car, so I put it on here.
Yeah, it looks good. I just like I kind of equate the 6 car to like Mark Martin and Valvoline. So like I don't, you know, Castrol. It's a, I don't know. This they're different oil companies. I get it, but it just is a little odd that we're gonna go back to a Japanese Supra, but whatever, and a Toyota too. That, but hey, what do I know?
Then we got number 9, Chase Elliott in a Dale Jr. 2014 Daytona 500 scheme. Looks pretty sharp. It's brought to you by UniFirst. I think they do stuff with uniforms. Chase Briscoe in the throwback honoring his relatives, Richard and Kevin Briscoe's dirt racing cars. So pretty sharp
yeah.
there. Kaz Grala in the number 15 N29 Capital Partners, throwing it back to Parnelli Jones paint scheme. It looks pretty sharp. This one's my favorite. The car is not a throwback, but the logo's a throwback. Michael McDowell, soon to be departed, he's got an old Long John Silver's logo on his number 34.
Yeah, it looks good. It's old school. Speaking of a couple of old school ones that I got for you, speaking of the Woodbros, hopefully they can win number 100 at Darlington. It's the Leonard Wood Special. It's the original 1953 paint scheme. It's all black with Harrison Burton. It looks pretty cool. I'm always partial to the Rainbow Warrior paint scheme of the 24, but Jeff Gordon's 09 paint scheme was pretty solid too. They changed the flames up a little bit. So that's what William Byron's going to be in this week in the 24 car. I have one more for you. Oh, shout out to Tim Richmond, the 23-11-45. Has a 1982 Tim Richmond Championship throwback scheme that they're going to run this weekend too. Thought that was pretty cool. And then the 48's going with like the fake faux Lowe's paint scheme with Alex Bowman with Allies the sponsor. That's yeah. That's an easy win. But yeah, I really like what the 45 was doing too.
All righty, on to Xfinity, JD Motorsports. Like I said in the past, they usually were pretty bland, but they came out with a really sharp looking car for Dawson Cram in the number 4. Pro Lube Oil Chevy. Then we got Justin Allgaier in the number 7. It is the Heritage Chevy throwback. It just goes back to, I'm guessing, what a Brandt's race car looked like back in the day.
A Brandt's fertilizer truck.
I just hope that it doesn't get confused with Jesse Love's, because it looks very much like Jesse Love's normal paint scheme.
It does.
So I will get those two confused much of the race. 07, I really like this one. Patrick Emmerling. I don't think I've ever picked a Patrick Emmerling car. It's a shout out to a former modified crew chief, John Leedy. He's going to be driving for Liberty Brew. The thing I really like about this, it's got like the little metal outside bumpers painted on the car. And then we got the Deegs in the Airbox Dale Earnhardt tribute car. She just unveiled that one recently. It's the blue and yellow one, not to be confused with the Intimidator black one. My favorite video game as a youth, Ivan Stewart Off-Road. I could play that game for hours with just $2 worth of quarters. Sheldon Creed is going to honor Ivan Stewart and his number 18 Toyota tribute car. And then the final one I have is Ryan Ellis throwing it back to the Days of Thunder, number 43.
Yeah, that was my like number one paint scheme. All of my favorite ones are in the 40s. Leland Honeyman Jr. with the old Kyle Petty mellow yellow throwback. That one's awesome. And then I love the Hot Wheels throwback that Brendan Poole's going to go from the 97 Kyle Petty throwback paint scheme. I actually think it's pretty cool with the Alpha Prime. I believe that is C&W Sons on that one. And then my last one for you was the Riley Herbst car in the 98. He's kind of got this like off-road truck that his dad used to race, so I thought it was a pretty cool one.
There we go. And then trucks. Taylor Gray coming in with some Tiger Stripes for ShopTricon.com, which is odd because the last time I went on ShopTricon.com, they didn't have anything. Like there was no merch. And then we got the number 32 tribute to Bobby Allison and the Golden Eagle Pride of Alabama car. I lost who the driver of that car was. Brett Holmes.
And Brett Holmes, yeah, there you go.
Stuart Friesen throwing it back to Jimmy Johnson's 2010 Coke 600 winning car. Spencer Boyd, pretty sharp Buck Baker throwback in the number 76. And then this is the winner of all winners. The only way you can make it better is if he actually had a monkey co-driver. Jack Wood, 91 Arctic Outdoor Chevy, throwing it back to Tim Flock, who had a co-driving monkey named Jocko Flacco.
There you go. There's your random fact today. I've got a couple, just two for you. I actually really like the Corey Heim Kelly Yarbrough car, our truck in the 11. I think it's really sharp. And then we got another Days of Thunder, Russ Wheeler, kind of the villain in the Days of Thunder. He had the Hardy's car, Tyler Ankrum, the Luna McAnally Hillman Racing Chevrolet truck. Let's see, got the blue and yellow of the Russ Wheeler look from Days of Thunder. So two Days of Thunder cars racing this weekend. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and then Daniel Dye actually threw it back to a Kyle Petty car. He'll be in the number 43.
And a lot of Kyle Petty love this week.
Yeah, really, Raja Carruth didn't do anything. Come on. Come on. Throw it back to Willie T. Ribs.
He's a race winner. He's got to do something.
And then Bama Buggies. You're awful. I'm sorry, Evan. Like, they put no effort into this. Throw it back to... You're Bama. You got the Bama Wrecking Crew, the Alabama gang. Like,
yeah,
you,
give me some Davey Allison, Bobby
Neil
Allison.
Neil Bonnet.
Do something. Neil Bonnet, do something.
So that's all we got here, though. Like, I was a little disappointed, but like I said, it picked up steam and we had some more entries. Like, South Carolina, click it or ticket, went all in on like three different cars. It's like, we know you're going to give us seatbelt tickets because it's a scam to make money. But. So we're at Darlington. Might have Luke Hillen on next week. For all you that like Luke Hillen, might have Evan Roberts, even though I know none of you people like Evan Roberts. So we will talk to you soon, Loose Lug Nuts fan.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game. Until that racing fever started burning in my brain. I started running mini stocks when I was 13 and won a short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde and he built a car for me. Sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. We ran in 5 Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my wings, now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. Some may say that Lady Luck has given me the breaks. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me the chance. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And now I've got the others on my side.